This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight Now, we bring you a discussion on recent developments in Bangladesh. The participants are Veena Sikri, former ambassador, and Naval Sangh Parmar, Prasar Bharati special correspondent, Dhaka. The moderator is Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent.
The situation in Bangladesh has changed rapidly since August 5th. Taking a quick recap of the events, Ms. Sheikh Hasina resigned as the Prime Minister of the country and left Bangladesh. As of today, she is in India. To discuss more on this, we have with us Ambassador Veena Sikri, who has served in Bangladesh, and we also have with us Mr. Naval Sangh Parmar, Prasar Bharati special correspondent, who covers Bangladesh and was there when these events unfolded. Ambassador Sikri, welcome to the program. Mr. Parmar,
thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
First of all, Ambassador Sikri, for the benefit of our listeners, can you give a background to the current crisis which erupted in Bangladesh?
Yes, let me be very brief about this. This is referred to as a student's crisis, as a student movement, as a student-led movement. But let me tell you clearly, this was a regime change operation. This was a coup against the former Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, and the coup succeeded. The coup was managed by the army. And we know, of course, Doc, is that Dr. Mohammed Yunus is being supported by Western countries. To give it a short background of this, why I'm saying like this, because the students' movement, the students have always been a very important part of Bangladesh life. They're very dynamic, they're very opinion leaders, and they played a big role in the Freedom and Liberation War of 1971. When, to give you one example, in 1971, when Yahya Khan was talking to Sheikh Mujib, and he broke off the talks and left quietly for West Pakistan, he told the army to launch this genocidal operation Searchlight. The first target was Sheikh Mujib to arrest him and bring him to West Pakistan. Second target was students in Dhaka University. So they've always been there, and that's why their role in the liberation war was such that they were given this 30% reservation, which became over time 56%. In 2018, coming to the present time now, in 2018, when Sheikh Hasina was still Prime Minister, somebody very strangely went to the High Court and asked that the decision in 2018, no, there was a students' movement in 2018, and the students' movement in 2018 was to end the quota. And said, no, now you've had a quota for a very long time, we want to end it, we want merit. Sheikh Hasina accepted the demand because she has good relations with students, and her government abolished the quota. So for the last 6 years, from 2018 to now, there has been no quota at all. In 2024, very strangely, there was an appeal to the High Court saying we want to reverse the decision and restore the quota. Now the High Court judge did that. This is also, you know, very surprising knowing the whole situation. But he did that. And the quota was restored and the students went on strike once again. But it was a completely peaceful strike. The police were there watching, the students were striking, you know, they were demanding that the quota be reformed. And it was so peaceful that Sheikh Hasina came to India in the third week of June. She went to China in the second week of July, all during the time when this agitation was taking place peacefully. So it was completely peaceful, right till 15 July. And very quickly, on the 14th of July, when she was in a press conference, she was asked a question about the quotas and said, yes, she had also in the meanwhile told the student that I'm going to appeal to the Supreme Court to again reverse the decision and go back to abolition of quotas. And some student groups joined her in that. The student group are not a very organized, hierarchical group. They have different, what shall I call it, coordinators for different universities and so on. Some of them were with her on that. And then because of the press conference, because of her reference, yes, we had reserved for the students, for the children of freedom fighters, a special place for the civil service and public sector undertaking. And of course, we will do it for them, but not for the children of Razakar. This use of this word led to the students coming on to the Dhaka University, saying we are Razakar and using some violence. And the student wing of the Awami League, the Chhatra League, opposed them and the violence started. Sheikh Hasina asked the students to be patient, said, I will do a judicial inquiry, and that she said that on 21st July, the Supreme Court is going to give a judgment. They gave the judgment. They reduced the quota. It was 5% for the children of freedom fighters and 2% for others. So it was 7% in all. And many students' groups accepted it. They put a moratorium on their protest. They gave a list of 9 demands to Sheikh Hasina that we want to discuss these demands with you. And they had put a moratorium on their protest. And actually, despite that, and because the political parties had entered the fray, the violence escalated hugely and the army had to be called in. There was further violence. Police was there. Students died. Other people also died. In fact, in a study done by the Daily Star newspaper, he said that at that point, when the study was published last Sunday, he said that he had calculated 204 that time, of which 53 were students. So roughly 25% students and 75%. 5% for others. But even after the verdict, because this violence carried on and escalated enormously, many more people died. Then the army who was supporting Sheikh Hasina up to that time, in fact, the chief of army staff was appointed by Sheikh Hasina not even 2 months ago. At that point, the chief of army staff told her that the army feels it cannot shoot on the people, and so they requested her to resign. She resigned and left the country. Now, the very fact that Professor Dr. Muhammad Yunus has become the interim chief, he has supported the Western countries, and China is definitely supportive. Otherwise, they would not have treated Sheikh Hasina so with such disrespect when she went there in the second week of July. She was not given the proper protocol. She did not meet President Xi Jinping, and she did not get the economic or financial assistance that she had.
Ambassador Sikri, yes, actually, your answer has actually drawn my attention to another very important question. So I have two questions, one for you and the other one for our correspondent. So I would simultaneously ask both the questions. An interim government led by Nobel laureate Professor Muhammad Yunus took charge of Bangladesh last evening. Ambassador Sikri, I would want you to share your thoughts about the interim prime minister. And Mr. Parmar, I would like to ask you, what are the challenges for the interim government? Ambassador Sikri, first you.
Yes, fine. I agree that after the Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina left on the 5th of August, the news began about President Muhammad Yunus, but the violence has continued unabated. Now, this is a very important fact to remember because it's going to color the entire work of the interim government. You cannot assess what they are going to do and what the challenges facing them unless you take account of the extreme violence of the last 5 days, because there was total anarchy. There was no government at all. Nobody in power, because the army did not declare themselves to be in charge. They just said because army does not want to do it, because then they will be prevented from going for peacekeeping operations by the UN. So they were not in charge. The police stations were completely abandoned by the police because they were fearing they would be victimized for their role with the former government of Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina. And police stations were burnt. Records were destroyed. Weapons were looted. Prisoners were released. So complete anarchy. And then the attacks on the Hindus and the Awami League. You know, not only in Dhaka was perhaps not so much. It was restrained, but not so much. But outside Dhaka, on the countryside, that is where the huge feedback about violence is coming in. In fact, there's been a demonstration in New York. So I think that we have to take account of this and see the challenge for the government of Dr. Muhammad Yunus is to end the violence. He himself has recognized it. He himself has said that the violence must end. And if it does not, why am I here? So he knows this is his first challenge, but he is also describing this as a second liberation of Bangladesh. So this is the question everybody is asking. What does it mean? Second liberation, a liberation from the first liberation. So they are bringing down the statues of Sheikh Mujib. They are destroying many infrastructure projects of Sheikh Hasina, like the metro station, and where they cannot bring down the statue of Sheikh Mujib, or it's a mural, they're covering it with white cloth. And it's an effort, I think, to end whatever the first liberation war of 1971 stood for. Democracy, secularism, nationalism, social justice, all this is under threat, it seems, unless Professor Muhammad Yunus can control the situation. The composition of his interim government is very interesting. And I think that shows because the people are saying that there will be no political party in the interim government, only specialists and so on. So that is, there are a lot of specialists in that.
True. But I would like to your attention towards our correspondent who also wants to add a bit on the challenges which the interim government faces currently. Mr. Parmar.
Yes, Madam has rightly said the first challenge to Mr. Yunus and his interim government is to establish law and order situation in Bangladesh. According to my view, that is second one is the people or protester, as they are saying that we want democracy in Bangladesh, and for that we want as soon as possible election, free and fair election in Bangladesh, and that would be the challenge for Mr. Muhammad Yunus and his government. And at the same time, there are democratic institutions in Bangladesh are, as Madam rightly said, that they are second. That is the also a challenge. And third thing, the economic issues or economic problem Bangladesh now going through after the COVID and the US Russia-Ukraine war. And during this period, hugely devaluation of Taka earlier on March, during March 2022, Taka was around dollar to Taka was 1.75 to Taka to $1. This time it is around 125 Taka to dollar. So huge devaluation. At the same time, inflation was rampant. Second thing, the unemployment issue is also there. At the same time, debt servicing and foreign, that are the also issues. Economic issues are also there, and that issue also contributed in the student protest movement. The common people who joined, people were on street, and it is there that lakhs of people were there on street. So all are not the motivated, or they are, may not be connected with the quota reform movement, but they may have their own issues, and they joined the protest movement. That is also a challenge for Dr. Yunus and his government.
Ambassador Sikri and Mr. Parmar, I would now like to draw your attention to India. India has been an old friend of Bangladesh. The evolving situation in the country will also have an impact on India. Ambassador Sikri, first I would like to your thoughts on what roadmap will India follow in the coming days?
Well, I think we have to draw our attention to the message that Prime Minister Modi has sent yesterday to Professor Mohammad Yunus on his assumption as head of the interim government in Bangladesh. The Prime Minister congratulated him on his new assignment and wished him every success, and of course India is going to. But he immediately drew attention to the safety of minorities and other, the Hindus and other minorities in Bangladesh. And I would like to say that India and Bangladesh, you are quite right, have the most extensive and strong relationship right from 1971. But in the last 10 years, it has been built up a lot. A lot of projects on connectivity, on high-impact community projects, and on railway projects. The Maitri Vaccine project was there. Then friendship pipeline from the Maligarh to the north of Bangladesh. Enormous number of projects. Khora Agartala railway line. Enormous amount of projects, all for the benefit of the people of Bangladesh. And if the project, we are prepared to continue the project. We want to continue the friendship with Bangladesh. But it has to be done in a way that the security and mutual benefit of the work is well established. We know that in the last 4 days, when there was complete anarchy, the Indian Cultural Center had been burned down. There's so much insecurity that the non-essential family staff has come back to India. We know that visa issuing has completely stopped. That will be a great blow for the people of Bangladesh. But because of the security issue, because you cannot assure the security of the Indian staff manning the visa center, that's why you have stopped all that. This is a question that India has very clearly said that we are keen on continuing the good relations, but it has to be done on the basis of mutual benefit and coming back to the mutual interest can be there to establish the continuation of the strong bonds, the strong economic cooperation, the strong relationship between India and Bangladesh in every field.
Ambassador Sikri, you have rightly mentioned and you spoke about Indians. Mr. Parmar, I would like to ask you now, what is the situation of Indian students in Bangladesh, the Indian nationals working in different sectors? Can you please speak about their security, safety and return to India?
There were a security concern for the Indian nationals who were living there. And after the first phase of violence on 17, 18, 19 and 21, so most of the students, around 9,000 students, mostly they were MBBS course, they returned back to India. Some of them were having some issue related to visa and all that. And in that, Indian embassy, Indian High Commission helped them. And most of them are in returned back to India now. And the Indian national who are working in the other areas sector and who are settled there with family or doing their job there. So they were also, some came back during first phase and the remaining were there, and after the regime change or on day before that and after that also, once the flight operation become normal, it was just for 6 hours, it was disrupted. So people used to take flights and they are coming back. There are still many Indians there. Most of them are living in a close group, in vicinity to each other. So they are in contact with each other. They have a WhatsApp groups, and in that they are sharing with regarding the security threats and travel plan. They are helping each other. At the same time, Indian High Commission is also available on its helpline number, and they are also providing guidelines. In the coming days, it will, how much time it will take, that is not sure, but it depends on the law and order situation become normalized. Then it will be possible for them to go and pursue their employment or study. But there will be security concern in the new regime once still it is stabilized in the Bangladesh.
Ambassador Sikri, your last comments very briefly on how multilateral organizations can help in resolving the current crisis in Bangladesh.
Well, I think that first and foremost, before multilateral groups can even come into the picture, it is the interim government itself who has to take the first steps to solve the problem. If they are unable to solve the problem, then certainly there will be, I'm sure, an effort to bring in multilateral organizations.
Ambassador Sikri, even we hope that a normalcy returns back to the country. Thank you so much for your in-depth discussion. Thank you so much for participating in the discussion. Thank you so much, Mr. Parmar, for sharing your insights.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
You were listening to a discussion on recent developments in Bangladesh. The participants were Veena Sikri, former ambassador, and Naval Singh Parmar, Prasar Bharati Special Correspondent, Dhaka. The moderator was Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani.